on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Emily Chow joins us. She's a content editor with Plugged In. PluggedIn.com is the website to go. You may be very familiar as a regular listener, our times spent from time to time with Paul Acey from Plugged In. But Emily, a cohort, thanks for joining us and taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, I want to touch on something that, you know, it's actually been on people's radar for years, but it sure has amped up, and that is the talk about AI. And as we head back to school, we're going to kind of make that connection. AI really has become commonplace in the workplace and in school settings, everything from essay outlines to quick searches for science fair ideas and so on and so forth. But looking forward to walking through this. I guess we should start, you know, with, well, let me start here. We have put on our website at klyt.fm in the Action Center, a resource from Focus on the Family for parents with kids heading back to school to, you know, be prepared to have conversations with your kids and really how to keep a pulse on what's happening at school. And as parents walk through that downloadable PDF, Emily, in regards to AI, what should parents know about AI usage in the public schools or, you know, public, private, Christian, all the above?
Yeah. So this is quite a wide topic, but I'll try to keep it narrowed for parents. Basically, so yeah, AI can be used in schools. Some schools have policies in place that actively encourage AI use. Some schools have policies in place that actively discourage it. There's no real government regulations as of yet, certainly not at the federal level, but even at the state level, state governments are still trying to kind of figure this out and haven't really landed on anything solid. Basically, it's falling on the shoulders of school administrators and teachers to figure out their own AI policies and then enforce those policies. And in some cases, it's going great. And in a lot more cases, the ones that you very frequently read about in the news or hear about on the news is that it's not going well. Teachers are struggling, students are struggling, and there are issues with kids who are coming out who are graduating from high school who don't know how to read. They're literally illiterate. And, you know, so when you have stuff like that going on and you can look and point the finger at AI, it becomes a problem. And it becomes a question of like, okay, what are we supposed to do? Because kids can use AI in a variety of ways. You know, on the positive side of things, like you already mentioned this, you know, you can use AI to help brainstorm ideas for a science fair project. You can use AI to help edit something you've written to make it, you know, more grammatically correct, or to maybe just make sure that you've covered all your bases on a topic. And some kids have been able to use AI to help them study even. The problem is that for every positive, there's, you know, an equal but opposite negative of AI. So for every kid who's using it to edit, there's another kid who's using AI to just write the entire assignment for them. There's another kid who's using AI, instead of using it to help them understand math, they're just letting it do the math for them and they're not actually learning anything. And I think that's where, again, where school administrators are having trouble because they're trying to limit cheating, and where parents are having trouble because they're like, well, where do I draw the line? So yeah, that's kind of what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, now I've been out of school for decades, and when I'm when thinking about how do you test, and really, although with assignments I could see where students are could be using AI to basically do all the work for them, but the tests should be a place where you know, you can gauge, well, who's really doing the work and exercising their brain and who isn't. And it's real easy as someone on the outside to say, well, here's how you fix the problem. But, you know, what you mentioned about the level of education students have before they head on to, you know, college or university. I mean, I think testimony or litmus test to that is the fact that, you know, we have schools like in Michigan and even MIT doing things like pass fail instead of, you know, graded first year in school. Everyone gets a trophy kind of a thing. and the fact that Harvard recently added remedial courses. I mean, that totally contradicts, you know, all of what we've known about what level you need to be to get into a school like Harvard. And there's so many other, that's, you know, that's a whole nother rabbit hole to go down. The condition of our higher education. But yeah, for sure. You know, we want to see the kids educated. We want to see them protected. And hey, you know, maybe you could tell us a little bit about some of what's happening congressionally, to deal with this. I mean, I know this isn't necessarily related to what you have to tell us about a congressional bill, but you know, when we're talking about AI and our children, one of the first thoughts I have is how walking on eggshells you would think the companies operating AI would be after seeing how Meta was held accountable in states like New Mexico, where we're broadcasting from, with their connection to children. There is all kinds of things going on, and our legislators are aware, and it's just kind of a new frontier. But what's going on congressionally that, or I guess I should say fake congressionally that our audience should be aware of?
So yeah, fake congressionally. So because the real Congress has not put solid legislation in place yet, a student Congress met this summer. They had 98 students representing all 50 states, and it was just a little, I think it was over a weekend, and they basically just tackled the topic of how to regulate AI use in schools. And I gotta tell you, I was actually very impressed with what these kids came up with. They're all high school juniors and seniors. And they really just ran the gamut of all of the issues going on with AI. And what they did is they came up with this fake bill that, you know, it addressed the different ways that students can use AI. It addressed the different ways that teachers could use AI. It addressed different ways that even parents and guardians, it was like, this is what parents and like their first parent and guardian provision was that parents should encourage balanced technology habits and reinforce ethical academic behavior at home. You know, they should support critical thinking over taking shortcuts. And it's like, yeah, that's, you know, that's good advice for parents kind of in general, I think. but it was interesting that teenagers thought of that, because you know, as parents, you know, when you're dealing with your own teenager, you're like, it's kind of weird to think that, oh, you and your peers might actually have an opinion on what, you know, what kind of regulations even I enforce at home. And, you know, it's not just, you don't necessarily want me to just say, okay, use whatever you want and let you be free. I mean, kids and teenagers sometimes like to have structure. And so I thought that was interesting that they put in provisions for parents and guardians.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned they like to have structure.
not all the time.
Right. But when it's there, everything's better. Hey, before we go to a break, I did want to touch on this, because we talked about, you know, AI being used in a good way when it comes to projects and essays and preparing for, you know, as we both mentioned, science fair ideas and what have you. What is going to delineate where AI is helping from where a student is actually using AI to cheat?
So I think that kind of comes back to two different things. One is one that you already mentioned, which is, you know, test taking. I think a lot of schools, and this was encouraged in this fake congressional bill that the students came up with. One of the things is that in test taking, on graded tests, they said, you know, it should be handwritten. If a student is suspected of cheating through use of AI, then, you know, the teacher can flag it and ask them to defend, you know, their position through maybe an oral presentation or through a handwritten assignment. You know, they can use AI detectors on written assignments, but if something gets, those are not, you know, foolproof. So if something gets flagged as AI cheating, then it needs to be overviewed by at least two human administrators, you know, because as humans, we actually do kind of have an inkling of when something was written by AI, I think. I've read enough things written by AI and enough things written by humans that I can kind of tell the difference. I mean, I'm not saying I'm an expert, but if your child, you know, is, if you suspect a student of using AI to cheat, then it's like, okay, we have ways of finding out. Like, you know, the child, if it's a written assignment, especially, the child could show us, no, look, this is my first draft, this is my second draft, this is my third draft, you know, they could show you the history of what they did. So that's one of the things, is that there are different ways to kind of have the student, it might require more work for the student to explain how they got to the conclusion that they got to, but at least you know that they learned the material then and that they weren't cheating. And I think another part of it actually falls, so that's on the school side of things. On the parent side of things, I think you just gotta pay attention. You know, I mean, as much as parents have ever had to pay attention to make sure their child wasn't plagiarizing an essay or, you know, cheating on their math homework, I think it's just, you gotta talk to them. You gotta, you know, ask them, how are you using AI in school? Are you using it on your homework? How has it helped you? How has it hurt you? Do you use it to study? Do you like AI? You know, there's a lot of questions parents can be asking their kids to kind of get a feel for whether or not, because there's some kids who might not even be using AI. And so if your kid is one of those, then you're like, okay, well, this isn't really a problem. But there are other kids who are like, this is the best thing ever. It explains it better than the teacher. And you can ask questions like, well, how so? What did the teacher say? And what did the AI say? You know, do some comparisons. But, you know, I think that's how we can kind of get a handle on cheating, is parents need to understand their children. Again, I don't think cheating with AI is any different than cheating with a lot of other different formats over the years. But I think on the school level, it's a matter of just when you suspect it, you know, flag it, have it reviewed, have the student back up their work. And, you know, like I said, handwritten tests where there's no computers involved, and oral presentations, again, no computers involved. I think that will help a lot of schools kind of get a handle on the cheating thing as well.
All right. Well, a couple of Steve commentary on both, you know, we're talking about how the school's handling it, how parents are handling it. And one of the things you mentioned is, you know, when schools are, or when children are suspected and, you know, they need to show the proof, you know, as you mentioned, first draft, second draft, and the energy, you know, it takes to keep all of those and be prepared to defend yourself. It also, you know, on the teacher side, it's a, you know, listen, creating educated students is, there's work involved. It's going to be, you know, it's not easy. You know, we should just be prepared to have that kind of accountability. I'm glad you mentioned that. And then for parents as well, not only to ask them, you know, so tell me how you're using AI, have them show you the process. And I will tell you, as a grandfather of many, that would be an education for me. You know, I've dabbled in it a little bit, And I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit intimidating. And from someone who watches, you know, probably too much news, and years ago hearing, you know, big voices, people like Elon Musk and other people in the technology field saying, look, AI is like the last thing that we really want. But it's out of the box. You know, it's happening. So now how do we deal with it? And it's a little scary, but there's a way to navigate it. And, you know, even in the midst of all the scariness, a reminder to our listeners that Jesus is on the throne. And as Christians, we do have a hope and that confident expectation and a way to, you know, ensure peace. So I want to throw that out there. Hey, we're up against a break. Emily, can you stay with us?
Absolutely.
All right. We're visiting with the Plugged In content editor, Emily Chow. The website is pluggedin.com. We're going to come back with more of this discussion, heading back to school and back to AI, what parents need to know, right after this on ABQ Connect.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. We're continuing our conversation with Emily Chow, Plugged In content editor. You can go to pluggedin.com to find out more about Plugged In. Before we finish our time with Emily, we'll spend a little bit of time making sure you know the other resources available to you on the website. Emily, thanks for staying with us through the break.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Well, before we continue on back to school, back to AI, what parents need to know, a thought occurred to me, and I'm kind of bushwhacking you with this question, but it'll maybe either be, wow, maybe we need to talk about this at Plugged In, or there's already a place on the website you can aim our listeners to. With, you know, there's so many different resources for AI, and some are more trustworthy than others. I know, you know, we're working in a Christian media ministry, not only radio, but, you know, in a media center that deals with, you know, books and pamphlets and a nationwide radio show, Connect, with Skip Heitzig, is produced in this media ministry. You know, AI is something that's used, but I also know that the people that are using it more here, you know, they have preferable places that they go to use AI. Is Plugged In grading and recommending one, you know, AI source over another, or is that, you know, something that's in the works?
It's not something we've done as of yet. And part of that is simply because every AI system that's currently out there has flaws. You've probably heard of AI bias and AI hallucinations. Different types of AI, like ChatGPT, for instance, they just came out with ChatGPT for teens, and our another branch of Focus on the Family, the Daily Citizen, they actually wrote about that just yesterday. And they pointed out a lot of the flaws, because this is supposed to be a safer version of the ChatGPT chatbot. The problem is, you know, it's using, I think it said it was age detection technology, but not age verification. So it might incorrectly label your child as an adult, and then they're not using it at all. It's also the teenager has to opt into it, so, you know, it has parental controls, but if the teenager turns off the parental controls, then that's not parental controls, that's teen controls, you know. And it was supposed to, like, protect kids from, you know, having conversations with AI that could be dangerous. It was supposed to prevent them from cheating. But even early tests by various different outlets, different tests that they've run, they're like, yeah, that's not a very robust system. Like, you can still get around and you can still cheat on your homework and you can still have dangerous conversations with AI. And like I said, every single company that is making AI has flaws. They're trying to shore up some of those some of those gaps, and they're just not succeeding. So I don't really think I can recommend one over the other. What it really comes down to is you as a parent have to talk to your child, and you have to remind them, like, the AI is not always correct. Sometimes it'll give you false information. So you have to fact check anything that you're plugging into it. It might feel like it's defeating the purpose, but that has actually always been the case with the internet. We were always told, you know, don't believe what you read online, fact check it, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to fact check anything it pours back out at you. And this is the hardest one. And this, again, this came up with the student Congress that met this summer. They brought up the fact that teens cannot go to an AI for emotional support. If you are, and that is something that parents, you may not necessarily be privy to the fact that your kid is in distress, because it's uncomfortable for teenagers to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it, you know? They'll talk to the AI because the AI feels anonymous, but it's the AI, I think the thing we have to remind our kids and remind ourselves even is that the AI is not a sentient being. It doesn't care about you. It doesn't care what happens to you. It's very good at mimicking human speech, but that doesn't mean that it is human. And I think that's something you have to just really kind of grind into your kids. Like, this is not a sentient being that cares about you. I, as your parent, care about you. I love you, and I will take care of you and help you get through whatever you're going through. You know, even as teachers, you can step in and say, you know, if you need extra help, like, most schools have tutoring resources, you know, there's a lot of different applications there, but all of this just to say that no, we don't recommend one AI over the other because they all have issues.
Okay. Well, you bring up two things I wanted to cover before we wrap up our time together: tutoring and detectors. And I'll throw them both to you. You can answer it in any order you want. You know, can AI be used as an effective tutor? When it comes to, you know, you mentioned AI detectors can be wrong. What do parents do as far as the whole cheating thing we talked about? Teacher claims something they wrote is AI, but it's not. The teacher obviously using a detector to determine that. So whether the tutoring or detectors, if we could, I think that'll wrap up our conversation, but address each of those.
So I'll start with tutoring, since you brought that one up first. So when it comes to tutoring, I do think AI can be effective with an adult overseer. You definitely want to make sure, because, you know, there are parents, you know, even in the homeschooling realm who, you know, I don't know anything about this topic. Like, how am I going to teach it to my kids? You know, an AI might be able to help explain something in a different way than what the teacher or the parent tried to explain it as. But it does need an adult overseer just to kind of make sure that you are getting the correct answer and to make sure it's not just making stuff up. But I think that because AI is so good at mimicking human speech, it has been able to help individual students learn new concepts and subjects simply because it's explaining it differently than how their teacher explained it. You know, it's just, hey, let's shine a different light on this and see if it makes sense if we do it this way, you know? And that's essentially what tutoring in the real world is like as well. You know, if you go work with an older student who's offering tutoring sessions, they're just going to try to explain it to you differently than how your teacher did, because obviously it didn't make sense when the teacher did it. I think that as a tutoring tool, as long as there's somebody there to kind of, you know, make sure that the information coming out is accurate, I think it can be used for tutoring. And that also kind of makes it a group activity.
That's right.
Because, you know, that's an important thing that parents need to be aware of. It's like studying and tutoring shouldn't necessarily be isolated activities. I think that when you're working with a group of students, like if you have a study group or a tutoring group that you work with in the real world, like you're asking questions and getting answers back from multiple different, brains and students and such. And they're asking you questions that maybe you didn't even think of. And that's something that I don't really think an AI could mimic. So I do still think that there's a lot of value in the community aspect of tutoring and, forming study groups with your peers. But it isn't to say that if your parent is sitting there trying to help you figure out a math problem, that you both couldn't sit there and talk to the AI and figure out, yes, 2 + 2 = 4, but why does it equal 4,
Yeah. Well, and in regards to detectors, actually, now that I think about it, you touched on some of this before whether using AI detectors to determine whether or not a student cheated or a teacher just is suspicious for other reasons. You mentioned earlier having content ready and prepared to show that the work was done. Outside of that, is there anything else you'd say when a teacher uses an AI detector and determines that something a student wrote is AI when it's not? What is a family to do?
Well, first of all, I would definitely make sure that you know your school's AI policies and individual classrooms, what their policies are. Because if one teacher is saying, yeah, you can use AI, and the next teacher is like, do not use AI, you need to be monitoring that to make sure that your child didn't, in fact, break the rules. Because, if it comes down to it and you're fighting with the teacher and then you find out that your kid wasn't supposed to use that AI to edit their paper, for example, but then they did, it's like, okay, but you broke the rules, so your teacher was correct, So I think you definitely want to monitor the different rules that are already set in place. It does require a certain level of involvement as your child is completing assignments, because if you can say as an eyewitness that your child didn't use AI, that would at least help back your child up if they get falsely accused. And then I would just strongly encourage, teachers can't rely on AI detectors alone. And that was actually brought up in that student Congress that I mentioned. They brought it up multiple times. They were like, you cannot rely on an AI detector alone. You have to have at least two human, two human teachers or administrators look over the work as well to determine whether or not it was written by AI or if it's just happened to get flagged by those detectors. Because again, they're not foolproof. So
right.
I think that if your child gets falsely accused, it really comes down to having the right conversations with the school administrators and your child's teacher to really just make sure that one, your child is in fact following the rules, but then two, to make sure that the teacher isn't, I don't want to ever accuse a teacher of being lazy, but to make sure that the school is not being lazy in how it handles an AI accusation.
All right. Well, lots of great information. If you just joined us, hey, we're done. Emily Chow's been our guest, a Plugged In content editor. PluggedIn.com is the website to go to. And, they have all kinds of things there that you may not be aware of, reviewing video games or movies or books, TV shows, all kinds of, media. And you're wondering, go to Plugged In and see if it's not covered there. You'll find all kinds of resources at PluggedIn.com. The other thing I wanted to quickly mention, you had briefly mentioned Focus on the Family Citizen Link. That's the Citizen Link, or excuse me, the Daily Citizen. I'm showing my age with Focus on the Family. Daily Citizen is the dailycitizen.org. We routinely review things with Glenn Stanton, Zach Mettler, Emily Washburn, and others from Focus on the Families, the Citizen Link, or the Daily Citizen. So we encourage you to Spend some time on both those sites, along with focusonthefamily.com, where you'll find other great resources. And Emily, one more thing I wanted to touch on, really important. You mentioned students shouldn't be using AI for emotional support because it's not human. It doesn't care about them. And I would extend this out there to the church, that, you know, parents and families, it's our job to pour into the next generation, our children, with the truth that that is found in Scripture, and assure that the things that they're consuming doesn't deter them from standing on the truth. And not only students for emotional support, but I'm seeing commercials, and I won't mention the company, but it doesn't matter. There's commercials on TV now that are absolutely directed at seniors that are alone and looking for emotional support and conversation, and encouraging them to go to AI to get that. Let's remember our responsibility to our seniors and the respect that they deserve, and the investment we should be putting into those seniors who invested so much in us over the years. Emily, 30 seconds. Any other closing thoughts?
Just when it comes to AI, you need to be talking to your kids. You need to be asking them questions about how they use it, show you how they use it, and don't be closed-minded. You know, this is going to be their world. They need to know how to use it safely and responsibly. And, you know, telling them that they can never use it is just going to create problems for them as they get older. So, you know, try to keep an open mind and, you know, put restrictions in place where it feels appropriate.
All right. Emily Chow, so much appreciate your time. Open invite. Let's get you back on sometime.
Of course. Would be happy to come back.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect. Okay.